This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. We'll get to Mike Ross and the big business story of the day in just a moment, but I want to give you an update on some of the wildfires impacting Western Canada. British Columbia is getting more help in battling wildfires. Nicole Rice has more.
34 Australian firefighting personnel will join 113 from Quebec and 101 from Mexico. The weather office is predicting lighter winds over several of the most challenging fires, including the blaze in the South Okanagan between Oliver and Osoyoos. But forecasters say temperatures there won't budge from the mid to high 30s all week. Environment Canada said the chance of rain is just 30% and it won't come until Saturday at the earliest. Nicole Reese, the Canadian Press.
And then over to Manitoba, about 20 Canadian Armed Forces members are headed to northwestern Manitoba to help with wildfires in that area. They're joining roughly 80 soldiers who are already deployed into four areas in the province to help suppress wildfire. Lieutenant Colonel Jesse Von Eich says members are monitoring the fire line.
Most of them are actually camping along the fire line overnight, and during the day they walk the fire line. They check for any areas where there's flare-ups or hot spots, and they suppress those or report anything else of interest up to the Wildfire Service lead.
The federal government has committed up to 120 Armed Forces members to help with wildfires in Manitoba. An expert says forest fires in Western Canada are so intense that they are generating their own weather systems. U.S. Naval Research Laboratory meteorologist Michael Fromm says the single largest such firestorm so far in Lytton, B.C. in June. He says the smoke plume from it has circled the world and is about to come back over the U.S. and Canada.
These storms that are making the news in the U.S. now actually were going on almost in parallel with the very same storms in the provinces of British Columbia, Saskatchewan, Alberta, Manitoba, and even Ontario. So we've been tracking these firestorms since about May.
The conditions fostering these firestorms is an abundance of fuel, heat, and wind. And just before we get to the big business story of the day, here's Canadian press reporter Karen Rebo with the Summer Games update.
Now this Summer Games update. One day after Canada earned its first ever Olympic medal in women's judo, Catherine Beauchemin-Pinard has made it too. The 27-year-old from Saint-Hubert, Quebec, defeated her Venezuelan opponent in extra time today to finish third in the under 63-kilogram division. The result came a day after Jessica Klimkate of Whitby, Ontario, won bronze in the under 57-kilo event. Kylie Moss has continued Canada's run of success in the pool, earning a silver medal today in the women's 100-meter backstroke. The 25-year-old from LaSalle, Ontario, swam the fastest first length of her life to lead at the halfway point, but she was beaten to the finish by Australia's Kaylee McEwen. And Danielle Laurie's fourth strikeout in 2 1/3 innings of work clinched Canada a 3-2 victory over Mexico and a bronze medal in softball. Canada's medal count in Tokyo so far is now 7. From the Canadian Press, I'm Karen Rebo.
And just after Karen posted that report, the Canada won some more gold when weightlifter Maud Charron wins the weightlifting gold in the woman's 64-kilogram category after lifting a total of 236 kilograms. The power of an ant. The proportional power of an ant. Well done, Maud Charron. Another gold for Canada. Nice to see the athletes pulling it in, especially our women's athletes. Absolutely dominating. Great job out there to everybody working hard in Tokyo. Let's bring in Mike Ross. It's time for the big business story of the day. Mike, you've been monitoring lumber prices.
Well, yeah, I'm a bit of a builder, so I like to come up with some projects and things that we can build that we need around the house. And I know there are a few projects on my list for this summer, but we were sort of holding off because lumber was so expensive. And why? Well, because during the pandemic, just as with so many other things like cooking at home, baking at home, et cetera, et cetera.
Gardening.
Pardon me?
Gardening.
Yeah, gardening. People were making their own woodwork projects at home, and the do-it-yourselfers suddenly came out of the woodwork. And did you catch that?
No. I did catch that. That was good. I was on mute. Sorry, Mike. I was clearing my throat.
But the fact is, now people are out of the house. People are not seeing that ratty old deck. They're not seeing their broken down fence as much as maybe they were earlier in this pandemic. So they're not doing that do-it-yourself project right now. They're either putting it off or they're just hiring contractors to do that type of work. And with that, the price of lumber is finally starting to come down. Now, there are blips on the radar screen. For example, with the wildfires that are happening in British Columbia, the price did have a bit of an uptick. However, it should be noted that most mills have lots of logs in stock in their yards. And so there's no shortage of lumber here. And what we're seeing, Dave, is the price for a 1,000 board foot of lumber. It sold for $422 last February. By April, it had dropped to $321. However, back up it went, Dave, last summer to a high of $1,617.50. But it is finally starting to come down. And so you can stop putting off that home reno project and you can get to work. Actually, wow, that's what my wife told me this morning.
Yeah, I'll fix that fence. I'll get to work on my deck immediately, even though I have no deck. But, you know, projects are projects nonetheless.
I've got to replace the roof on our smallish shed. Okay. A sheet of plywood back in the day would have cost me about maybe $35, $40. At the height of this, it had jumped to $95.
Wow, it's
a big jump.
Yeah,
it's
definitely. Well, it's good. It's good for the handy folk who can start playing with the wood again if they want
to.
Hey, Mike, thank you.
Okay, Dave.
That's Mike Ross with the big business story of the day. I've got your accessibility story roundup. Hee-haw. This one coming to you from CTV News via the Associated Press, written by Scott Bauer. Walmart loses lawsuit brought by worker with Down syndrome. Walmart Inc. lost a federal lawsuit in Wisconsin when a jury sided with a sales associate who has Down syndrome and alleged that schedule changes exacerbated attendance problems that led to her firing. The jury in a federal court in Green Bay awarded Marlo Spaeth more than $125 million in punitive damages last Thursday, but a Walmart spokesman said on Friday that under federal law, that will be reduced to a maximum allowed, which is $300,000. Keep those numbers in mind. I'm going to come back to that. The jury also awarded Spaeth $150,000 in compensatory damages. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission said Friday in announcing the ruling, the EEOC brought the case against Walmart. Spaeth worked for Walmart for about 16 years before she was fired from its Manitowoc store in 2015 due to excessive absenteeism. Changes in her work schedule following the implementation of a new computerized system in 2014 created difficulties for her, the lawsuit alleged. Spaeth's condition requires that she maintain a rigid schedule of daily activities, the lawsuit said. Spaeth requested that she be allowed to resume her prior work schedule of noon to 4 p.m. because if she did not eat dinner at the same time every night, she would get sick. Instead of returning her to the old schedule, Walmart fired her. Spaeth alleged Walmart also refused to rehire her when Spaeth requested. The jury found that Walmart failed to accommodate Spaeth's disability and fired her because of it, which is a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. But I do want to back up to something that really struck me here in reading this article, because obviously something as simple as saying, can we offer someone with a disability proper, consistent scheduling when they've been doing it for 16 years? Like, that seems like a no-brainer to me. I cannot believe the organization could not figure that one out because they were so heck-bent on making sure they imposed their digital booking system for their time schedule for probably no good reason at all. But I want to come back to these numbers here. So the jury awards a $125 million against Walmart in a lawsuit for disability discrimination. That's a pretty penny, right? Like, that's a message being sent. Don't discriminate against people with disabilities. Oh, but wait a minute. Here comes federal law. You can only be fined $300,000. well, wait a minute. Why are we even going through this process in the first place? Why are we even dealing with numbers like this, saying you're going to be hit with punitive damages of $125 million if the maximum is only $300,000, especially corporations that are worth billions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars? You think they're even going to notice a $300,000 lawsuit? Sure, it's bad publicity. It's bad press. I'm ragging on them here on the show today. But the fact that there's these laws in place that protect corporations like that, to me, is mind-boggling. What's the point of having a legal process if you can't actually hit these corporations where it hurts? So very glad to see that she got the settlement. Very glad to see that the jury recognized that this was discrimination against a person with disability, against the Americans with Disabilities Act. But now I think we need to go to that next level that says, how do you hold corporations accountable by putting federal laws in place that stop them from actually being punished? And I get that's a south of the border issue, but it's certainly one that rubbed me the wrong way this morning. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.